Chris Peters joins us, NHL draft and prospect analyst for ESPN. Follow him on Twitter, at Chris M. Peters. Chris, thanks for joining us on Sportsnet 650. You do a lot of great work ranking prospects and doing your latest mock draft on ESPN's site. And outside of Kaapo Kakko and Jack Hughes, how unpredictable will this draft be this year?
Well, you know, it goes really quick right there at number three. I think that the Blackhawks kind of hold the key for how the rest of that first round is going to go. And even after that, I think, you know, there are plenty of wild cards that could kind of jump into the mix. And I'm fascinated with the way that things are going to go from three on. I think there's a really good chunk of players that are available basically from about 3 to 12 that kind of fit into that next tier of player, as far as I'm concerned, with, you know, some of the Alex Turcotte, Kirby Dach on the higher end of that tier, you know, guys like Peyton Krebs mm-hmm. on the lower end of that tier. But that's kind of where there's still going to be a lot of value. So, yeah, so I think basically from three on, good luck. I've been, you know, working the phones trying to find out. This time of year, it's really difficult to find out any mm-hmm. kind of valid information, a lot of smoke screens, a lot of maybe this, maybe that kind of thing. And so it's really difficult to pin down what teams are thinking because everybody's wanting to not make a mistake in those, especially in the lottery this year, because there's a lot of good players, and you just want to make sure you get the right one.
Now, one of the things that Jim Benning mentioned was there's a bigger gap from say 5 to 10 than say 10 to 15. Do you see the you know, three prospects outside of Kaapo Kakko and Jack Hughes having a clear advantage over the other ones that rank in that top 10, or is your group a bit bigger?
My group's a little bit bigger than that. I think that, you know, the top eight or so are really, really good, you know, I mean, kind of almost interchangeable as far as I'm concerned in terms of where they are. You know, I think that for Kirby Dach and Alex Turcotte are definitely, you know, I think there's a bit of a gap between them and the next group of guys, but then it's not a significant one because I've got, you know, Trevor Zegras, Cole Caulfield, Dylan Cousins, Matthew Boldy, kind of all chunked together there, Vasily Podkolzin as well, and I think that group of players right there is going to be they're all impact players. It does start to bunch up after that. I think the D, you really start seeing more of them kind of bunched together. There could be a team that reaches up in the top 10 that grabs, you know, a defenseman earlier and then kind of breaks up that group a little bit, and there's really not a lot of consensus on which defenseman should go first after Bowen Byram, who I, you know, haven't mentioned. He's also in that kind of that tier with Dach and Cousins and Turcotte rather. So at least in terms of how teams have projected them. So yeah, I think that there's, you know, if you're in a top 10, you've got a really good chance to land a good pick. I think a little bit after that, it's when it starts thinning out and becomes a little less clear.
How difficult was it to place Vasily Podkolzin? Because, you know, when you watch him play, he does all the right things, but there are factors that complicate the lack of production this year in various tournaments, and, of course, the KHL deal keeping him in Russia for another 2 years.
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting. I've had to kind of correct myself a little bit from earlier, kind of like after coming out of the Under-18 World Championship, I had started getting a little bit lower on Podkolzin just because, you know, he played a significant role on the team that won silver there, but he didn't produce and wasn't impacting games the way that I saw him impact games at the beginning of the season. Now, that said, around the World Juniors, right around the World Juniors, it was not clear that Kaapo Kakko was number two for several people, you know, that I talked to and teams that would have had Podkolzin ahead of Kakko at that point. That has obviously shifted significantly. Kakko played so well over the second half of the season, and then Podkolzin really, you know, kind of trailed off. The other thing that I think is kind of difficult to get a read on is the fact that Podkolzin played for three different teams in Russia at three different levels of Russian hockey, including the KHL. He was in North America for so much of the season as well at tournaments. He was at the World Juniors, the World Junior A Challenge, the Ivan Holinka. That's three tournaments where he was in North America and spending that much time here playing on essentially three different teams. And so that was really, really challenging for him. So he's tough to get a read on. I think what I understand from, you know, talking to teams, I think coming out of the combine, some of the nerves were calmed a little bit. The contract is an issue. The fact that it's St. Petersburg is an issue. There's always a chance that they could you know, they're one of the team's best positioned to keep him. But I think there is a general sense that after the 2 years on his contract are up, that Vasily Podkolzin will come over. So for me, I kind of started thinking maybe he's outside of my top 10, maybe he's outside of that tier. For me, he's very much in that top 10, that group of players, that chunk of players that I think come after Kako and Hughes, I would not have a problem seeing them go anywhere from 3 to 10, 3 to 12. You know, those guys, it's just, if a team likes a guy enough, they could have a different opinion. But he is difficult to grade. I think the teams are certainly going to be careful and be risk averse. But at the same time, I don't think the risk is as great as we've previously made it out to be.
Yeah, you're right. I look at Detroit as being a team that might be in play for a Podkolzin, given Yzerman's recent draft history with Russians and, of course, the organization in Detroit and their history with successful Russian players panning out. How many defensemen do you think are viable targets for top 10 selections? We know there's going to be at least one, and it seems like the Edmonton Oilers are fixated on Philip Roberg being their guy at number 8. But what about third, and which defenseman might be there at 9 and 10?
Yeah. So we obviously know Byram is pretty darn good, and will be a high selection. After that, you know, you talk to a lot of different people. Some people have Victor Soderstrom ahead of Broberg. Some people have Cam York ahead of Broberg. Some people like Thomas Harley or Moritz Seider. But you know, I think generally Philip Roberg is that next guy. He's the third defenseman I have. I actually have Cam York just ahead of him on my personal board. I had heard kind of later in the process, and this was after I kind of lifted York in my own rankings, that he was a guy that teams were starting to key in on a little bit more, and you know, did pretty well at the combine. Teams like what they heard there. But really it seems like Broberg is the most likely to break up the party. He's got the size. He's one of the best skaters in this draft. You know, he's got good offensive instincts, and there are elements of his game that need to work. I think there are people that have doubts about his hockey sense, and that's one of the reasons why there, you know, some people are lower on him than others. Some just, you know, view Victor Soderstrom as the better of the two Swedes. If you watch the World Under-18 Championship, unfortunately Soderstrom got bounced with a concussion in the middle of that tournament, and Broberg ended up being the top defenseman in the entire thing. So, you know, that there weren't many opportunities to see them side by side. So that's kind of another challenge there. But those two guys, I'd say Broberg and Soderstrom, and then, you know, with the outside chance of Cam York, those are the guys that you could see potentially sneak into that level in the top 10, top 12.
And we look at some of the other defensemen. Thomas Harley has been getting a lot of love, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, Willie Heinola, depending on who you ask, they have him a lot higher. Or Moritz Seider is somebody who has really moved up in some people's estimation. And if we kind of look at the need for defense, can we see defensemen rise as much as we saw centers rise last year?
It's certainly possible. Like, I think that there's going to be a run on defensemen kind of right outside of the top 10. With guys like Seider and York and Soderstrom kind of in that mix, as well as Broberg and Thomas Harley for that matter. You know, so I think that there's certainly an opportunity. The wild cards there are Seider and Soderstrom, both right shot defensemen. Guys, you know, we hear it all the time now about how teams are looking for right shot guys. Seider, you know, he's a bit of a wild card because he played in the German Elite League. There's not much precedent for a teenage defenseman to play as much as he did in the German League, and then also go to the World Championship and perform as well as he did for a pretty good Germany team. So he's kind of one of those guys where teams are doing as much homework as they possibly can. At the combine, Moritz Seider said there were 84 scouts at his final regular season game. At least that's what was told to him by the team after the game, and then he interviewed with every single team. So he's a guy that I think is really intriguing and is a player that the teams are kind of keying in on and trying to do all their homework, because he's big, he's mobile, he moves the puck extremely well, and then when he was in international tournaments at the younger levels, and those are at, you know, below the World Junior and World Under 18 top flight, he was an incredible standout, and you kind of take that with a grain of salt because of the level of play. But that's a guy that I think, you know, could potentially sneak in and into that conversation of being one of the top D picks, and in that middle of the first round there, we could very well see a bit of a run on defenseman.
Do you have a favorite player in the draft that you may be higher on this year than others in that first round range?
Yeah, you know, I think one of my favorite players in the entire draft is Nick Robertson from Peterborough. He is an incredibly skilled, incredibly creative player, plays the game fast. He's tenacious, you know, but he's 5'8". Sometimes he can do a little too much with the puck. But I think overall, I really like his hockey sense. I think he's got really good vision. He makes plays. He's really good at gaining the zone. An absolute elite release. He's one of the goal scorers in this draft that I don't think gets kind of mentioned. You know, certainly not with Cole Caulfield and not Arthur Kaliev. But to me, he's one of the best goal scorers in the draft based on his shot. He just needs to shoot more because he likes to make plays. He's a great pass shot threat. He really stood out to me at the Ivan Hlinka, and I tracked him throughout the year. He averaged just over a point per game in the OHL, so not necessarily inspiring numbers. Peterborough was kind of a middling team this year, but he's a guy that I think, you know, he could probably end up going in the second round. I have him graded as a first-round prospect, and I have him over, you know, some guys that are much higher on a lot of lists. But for me, he's one of my personal favorites. I think he's got good character. I think he's, you know, he's got a good base of talent, and he's the type of guy that, you know, if he's there and he's available to you, you want that kid on your team because he's gonna make some plays and he's gonna make some things happen. So I'd have to go with Nick Robertson as one of my personal favorites.
You know, I like Nick Robertson a lot as well. You talk about a bit undersized, has a lot of talent. Just quickly on Arthur Kaliev, who despite his goal scoring, looks like a guy who is going to be squeezed out of that top 10-15 range. Do you think that ultimately happens?
It's very possible. I mean, I in the mock draft I did, I had him slipping quite a ways. And I think that he didn't do much to calm any concerns at the combine. You know, I think he's on several teams' do not draft list. And so part of that is, you know, they don't see the effort. They don't see the work ethic in terms of, you know, how he plays on the ice. They don't see any, you know, kind of defensive capabilities. I talked to Kelly at the combine, and I've talked to him several times this year. I've always enjoyed our conversations. They're pretty, you know, they're pretty simple, and they're not, you know, not too deep. But this last time at the combine, you know, I think that he really got agitated by the reputation that he has, and you know, he says, you know, I scored 51 goals and had 102 points on a team that you know was rebuilding. Essentially, he was really the only guy. You know, there wasn't a ton of talent on Hamilton this year, coming off of the OHL championship last year. And I can't blame him. Like, you know, I know that the effort needs to be more consistent. There's no question about it. But when you have a guy that can shoot the puck like he does, that can make plays, I mean, he's actually a pretty underrated playmaker. He sees the ice extremely well. He dishes well. I think he's got some agility. You know, he's not the fastest skater. That's certainly a concern. But he does have some decent footwork, decent edge work that allows him to escape defenders and make some plays. And so, you know, he's a guy that I think if he does fall and you're one of the teams that's kind of sitting in the mid-20s and you're like, you know, hey, we got a couple guys here, but he's still there. Maybe we consider taking that risk. I think he's going to need to go to the right team, the right situation. And I'm very intrigued to find out what happens and where he goes. But I do think that there's a good chance that he slips a little further than we might have expected in that first round.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun to see ultimately what happens. A lot of intrigue for this year's NHL draft in the first round. Chris Peters, courtesy of ESPN, thanks for joining us. And we look forward to seeing you here in Vancouver.
All right, can't wait to get there.
Sportsnet 650.